weapon. The world you can't appreciate. Your expression just free your mind. That's the weapon. The world you can't appreciate. Your expression.
Yeah, I need extra help when I express myself. Come on, so you should come along with your sexy self. And I can only imagine how your ex has felt. She can't keep her pants on, she need an extra belt. Bending corners in my black jeans, look at me creep. Thick bitch in a blow body soul that look like mistake. Your technique's kinda unique, it's easy to sleep. And it's easy to get me hard, cause your rivers is deep. How you doing? Monumental. Your sexual confidence is confidential. You sit behind the desk, cross your legs, and hold the pencil. Never tell it to them, cause I know they peak potential. Please believe, I want you in a special way. If your body is a temple, here's a special place. No haste, no waste, less on my case. And I don't need to go fast to express the way. This for my sexy ladies, independent. From all around the world.
What is going on, family? Welcome to another episode of the Tariq Elite Radio Show. I am your gracious host. My name is Mr. Tariq Elite Nasheed, also known as King Flex. Glad to have everybody tuning in. We're going to chop up some real good game on today's show, ladies and gentlemen. Shout out to all the people listening live on Ustream. The phone number to call in is 818-850-5404. Call up. Let me know what's on your mind, fam. We're going to take a real quick commercial break. And I mean real quick. And when I get back, we're going to talk about what you want to talk about. We're going to chop up some real good, heavy game. So the phone number again is 818-850-5404. I'm bumping this new jam. Let me bump this new jam by my dude, Pat. This is my dude, Patrick Barnett. That's his new single called Smoke and Mirrors. Now, this single can be purchased at iTunes and Google Play and all major digital retailers. And you can follow them on Instagram at Runway Boys or The Runway Boys. And Boys has a Z on it. And y'all stay tuned. We're going to do a real quick commercial break, ladies and gentlemen. We will be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, don't you go nowhere, right here on Tariq Elite Radio.
Get ready to join New York Times best-selling author and critically acclaimed filmmaker Tariq Nasheed live on the Code of Conduct Lecture Tour this summer. Sunday, July 5th at the International House of Philadelphia in the city of Philadelphia. Saturday, July 5th at the Alliance Theater in Atlanta. And Saturday, July 18th at the Southfield Center in Detroit. Get tickets now at www.tariqlive.com. That's TariqLive.com.
Hey, what's up? It's dating and life coach Mr. Locario. Go to badboymembership.com and master the dating game by joining my Bad Boy Membership program. In this program, you'll receive 45 through 90 minute, easy to follow, step-by-step dating advice tutorials that's guaranteed to help you attract, date, and have sex with beautiful women. Join the Bad Boy Membership today by going to badboymembership.com. That's badboymembership.com.
A system has been built for our people to practice group economics. Check out r-stones.com. r-stones.com is a network community for black and African people to practice group economics. We are the rejected stones that all others refuse to build with. That's why the website is called r-stones.com. At r-stones.com, you can meet other people in your area or around the world to partner with and invest in businesses or real estate. Go to r-stones.com.
Yo, check out my man Kevin Gentry and his website, becomerichfamousfast.com. Kevin has a one-on-one private school coaching website, and he will teach you everything you need to know about the game. And you can call him directly at 404-207-5640. Call Kevin up and he will teach you everything you need to know about being a true player and having real tight game. So check out becomerichfamousfast.com.
You are now tuning in to the King of Game, Tariq Elite, on Tariq Elite Radio.
I am delivered! What's up? We are back right here on Tariq Elite Radio. And I am your gracious host. My name is Mr. Tariq Elite Nasheed, ladies and gentlemen. I see we got the phone lines going on. Now, don't forget, man, my lecture tour starts in July. You guys can get tickets right now at TariqLive.com. I'm going to be in Philadelphia July 5th. That's Sunday. I'm going to be in Atlanta at the Alliance Theater on July 11th. The tickets went on sale today. You can go to Tariq Live right now, TariqLive.com, and get your tickets. And I'm going to be in Detroit. Excuse me, I burped and talked at the same time. I'm going to be at Detroit at the Southfield Center. That's going to be July 18th at the Southfield Civic Center. So go to TariqLive.com. Get your tickets, fam, and let's make this thing pop off. Let's see who's on this phone. A lot of folks are calling. What's up? Who's calling?
Hi, Coffee from Bad News.
Where you calling from?
Newport News.
Newport News. There you go. What's on your mind, man?
Yo, I got a lot of white folks that work at my job with me, and they be looking at me weird. I need some tips on what to do. It's pretty racist.
So white people look at you?
Yeah, they be looking at me weird. Like, they be looking at my ass. Like, I'm trying to keep my job, and I don't want to say the wrong thing to them. Need some tips on that.
So, shit, what do you, if you need your job, you're just going to have to deal with that or get you your own business where you ain't got to worry about suspected white supremacists looking at you. That's the only remedy, because basically if you go get another job, you're going from one plantation to another plantation, so you might have to deal with the same thing. You feel me? So the thing you to remedy that is just to create your own thing.
Because right now, they got me working at a Colonial Heritage in Williamsburg. Yeah, I swear that's like a plantation. They got me, because it's only black people working there. So we got waves of white people and shit to open up the gate and shit.
Okay. Well, that's what happens. What you think? You live in a system of white supremacy. What you think is going to happen?
And that should be making me mad, though, man. These niggas be rolling on. I saw a fucking Ferrari, man, beginning and shit.
Right, but you ain't mad enough to not do nothing. You just want to complain about it. And if you want to complain about it, you just find some other dusty niggas who like being on a plantation who pretend they don't like it. Because if you really didn't like it, you would be getting off your ass doing something about it. You wouldn't just sit up coming up with ways to complain. I'm telling you what to do, and you still want to complain about it. You feel me?
Yeah, I feel you.
No, what you want is a pity party. I don't do plantation pity parties. Get off the plantation.
Alright.
Get out of here, you damn nigga!
There you go. Literally and figuratively. Get out of here, you damn nigga. Either you're gonna stay on the plantation or you're gonna get off the plantation. But I don't do the whole plantation pity party thing. Too many black folks get caught up in that plantation pity party. And that's something that black folks are going to get off of. I talk about systematic white supremacy, but I talk in a manner where we should start looking for solutions to combat the system and replace the system with a system of justice. A lot of folks will just complain about certain things and not want to do anything about it. You just kind of get off on complaining. And that's a plantation pity party. There was an article that came out. Somebody tweeted me. They were like, man, Tyler Perry need to be on the coon train. Read this article. And the article, basically, it was somebody interviewing Tyler Perry at some kind of event, and Tyler said, well, if you want to talk about racism in Hollywood, I'm really not the one to go into that. I'm really not the one to ask about racism in Hollywood. And I guess the person who tweeted me the link was trying to make it seem like Tyler Perry was trying to jump on the coon train or whatever. But he didn't understand where Tyler Perry was coming from. I get where Tyler was coming from. Tyler wasn't cooning. Basically, what he was saying was, don't ask me about people dealing with racism in Hollywood because I got my own thing. So basically what Tyler was saying is that I don't really deal with those people like that on that level where they can turn me down and tell me what I can't do. I don't really deal with them on that level. That's what he was saying in so many words. What he was saying was, I own my shit. So if there's racism or whatever, I don't deal with it. That's what he was saying. And I get that and I respect that and I applaud that. See, we got to get off this thing where we want to have plantation pity parties. When we talk about systematic white supremacy, talk about it in a way where you're going to try to find solutions to empower yourself. It's all about melanoid empowerment. It ain't about let's just whine and complain until they give us a better position on the plantation, that type shit. How come massa, they ain't treating me well enough on this plantation at this job? They're not patting me my back hard enough. Don't have a plantation pity party. Let's see who else is on the phone. What's up, who's calling?
Yo, what's up, brother? What's good?
I'm good. What's your name? Where you calling from?
My name is Robert Bash, and I'm calling from Jacksonville, Florida.
There you go, man. What's on your mind, fam?
Yo, I just pretty much had a question about my situation, what I got going on. I'm young. I'm 25 years old. I got my money right. I got my Roth account set up and everything. And right now, I'm just like, I got everything settled, but the whole female situation is kind of difficult because I'm a truck driver.
Okay.
So, like, right now, like, I'm stacking a lot of bread, but I don't know, man. The females, they call, and I'm keeping them at bay for the time being because I got my plans and my future goals. But,
well, you do a lot of traveling, right? So you out of town a lot, right?
Right.
Right, so it's kind of difficult for a young dude. Now, how old are you again, brother?
I'm 25.
24. Yeah, it's kind of difficult to be in a steady, steady relationship when you're traveling like that. But you're doing the right thing by stacking your money, because I don't think you should be in a real serious, serious relationship right now anyway. You need to really stack your money and understand what you're trying to do with your future. And once you get your money stacked, what you need to do is invest more, get you a home. So when you do get into a relationship, it's going to be a quality relationship. And it ain't going to be some shit that's going to drain your energy and all your other resources. So you're doing the right thing, man. The females are going to come. Once you get a little more settled, right now you're building yourself.
Right.
And the females ain't going nowhere.
That's the whole goal.
Yeah, that's exactly the whole goal. You're doing the shit the right way. Those females ain't going nowhere. They're going to be right there. When I was your age, I was writing my books. And I had to lock myself in the house, stay out the club for a minute, and get my books knocked out. And after you get everything done, you handle your business. Now you can enjoy the fruits of your labor later on down the line. See, we got to start thinking about stacking our paper, investing in our future, and enjoying the fruits of our labor later on down the line. That's why with my books that I wrote in my 20s, I can still live off my books now. And the money you're stacking and saving from working and traveling, you're going to be able to utilize that in the future. While your friends your age are out there in the club trying to turn up, and niggas got 80 roommates and staying at home with their grandmama and shit like that, those are going to be the same old niggas hating on the younger dudes later on. So you're doing the shit you're supposed to be doing, and the females are going to be there. And you're in Jacksonville, so look, it's slim pickings out there in Jacksonville.
Yeah,
you know, I've been out
there
to Jacksonville, and I understand the game. So again, you might have to start hitting up Miami and stuff when you get yourself together.
All right.
You feel me?
Yeah, I feel you. And actually, just real quick, just to touch on it, I had one more like quick question.
Go ahead.
And basically, I've been trying to, I remember hearing you say in one of your podcasts, you said, you know, money talks, bullshit walks. You know,
yes.
When you start talking money and start talking, aggregating, you know, your money together and trying to actually make moves, you know, people all of a sudden got, you know, bullshit out of the ass. They're just talking, you know, they're just talking just to talk, but they're not trying to actually make any moves. I was, because I've been trying to do that with some, not my homies, but some people who are actually trying to do things, but it's just, you know, it's kind of getting difficult. I wanted to ask, like, what's your advice on that? Are you kidding?
Well, the thing is, once you start building, real people are going to gravitate towards you. The thing is, you have to start doing what you need to do. The problem is we look for other people to get started with us. And that's a real big mistake, because a lot of times we're the only ones out of our crew that's really motivated to do something. And the thing is, once you get moving, once you get motivated, once you get the ball rolling, two things are going to happen. Other people who are on the same page as you, they're going to gravitate towards you. So other people who are motivated, other people who are moving and shaking, you're going to automatically start coinciding with these people. Also, some of these same cats who are slacking now, who are your friends, once they see you getting it popping, they're going to want to get on board. Or they're going to be haters. And if they're haters, just let them fall off. But then they're going to get on board. You understand?
All right.
I remember, man, when I left home, when I came out to Los Angeles as a teen, all of my friends that were kind of slacking off a little bit, they started to come out here too. They started to get themselves together, and they said, well, fuck it, Flex went out there. I need to go out there and get my shit popping too. So a lot of times, you need to be the leader in the sense, and don't worry about what everybody else is doing. You get it popping, then you'll gravitate, and other people will gravitate towards you. You feel me?
Yes, sir.
Much respect for the call, brother. Yes, indeed, family. A lot of stuff I want to talk about. You know, I talked about the street harassment propaganda that was going on in New York and other major cities a while back. And I was talking about how they were going to use street harassment as a way to start criminalizing black people in some of these major metropolitan cities. I talked about that a while ago. I've been talking about that for a few years. And we've seen some of these street harassment campaigns out themselves as being racially motivated. Now what they've done, because right now we're in Jim Crow 2.0. And again, I don't want to keep beating the topic of race and racism like a dead horse, because, you know, we keep having to deal with it. More and more stuff keeps happening every day. So I have to touch on it. But what we're doing now, what we have going on now, there's a system of white supremacy that's coming back, and is going to be more violent. It's going to be more disenfranchising, and they're going old school with it. And the white supremacists are using a lot of code words. They have something now in New York where they're criminalizing people. And that's the name of the game. They have to find different ways to criminalize people, particularly melanoid people. So whenever you see some of these crazy laws pop up that sound real stupid, usually those laws are there to target the melanoid community. And like I said, that whole street harassment thing, the name of the game was to further criminalize black people, just like that knockout game propaganda they had a few years ago. That was to criminalize black youths. That's why when Mike Brown got into the argument with Darren Wilson made up this whole knockout game theory where Mike Brown tried to knock him out and hit him in the face. See, that knockout game thing, that was fresh on the minds of the white supremacists. And they used code words. And they used these code words to justify harming us. So now, with the street harassment thing, they kept putting in people's minds, black people, black men in particular, going around sexually harassing women. Now in New York, they have something called manspreading. I want y'all to take your time to Google this if you think I'm just whistling Dixie. They have something called manspreading, where they're criminalizing people, giving them misdemeanor charges, and that's all it takes. Some people call these broken glass laws, meaning that the police will pull a person over or give them a ticket for a broken glass, meaning they're just looking for any reason to pull them over and cite them. But now they have something called manspreading. Manspreading is basically if a man is sitting on a train or subway in New York and his legs are wide open, you can get a ticket, a misdemeanor citation for having your legs spread too far open, because that's now offensive. And they did a study, and a lot of people who are being targeted are people of color, in particular, black people. A lot of these little subway laws in New York are targeting black people, black men and women. There were some black women who got cited for having their foot on the seat while they were sitting down. So these little misdemeanors and made up crimes that they're pulling out the side of their asses, these are going to be directed towards black people. I want you to Google man spreading. It sounds ridiculous, but this is how far reaching the white supremacists are going with criminalizing you. All of these cowardly coons who went around talking about what about black on black crime, you have to understand, these little cowardly coons are assisting and the demise of black people in general. They make up laws specifically for black folks, and certain things are illegal when black people do it and not illegal when people in the dominant society do it. The rapper Pusha T was talking about a situation he had. I think it was in Virginia somewhere. They went to a sports bar and he overheard the manager tell the doorman, hey, don't let him in, tell him it's a guest list only night, which is another code. The white supremacists are really going back to the old school Jim Crow codes, and they're using very coded language. And we experienced that in North Carolina. I talked about that many times. We went to a mall and they said, well, you can't get in this area because some of you guys are wearing t-shirts, but we saw a whole bunch of white people wearing t-shirts. So the whole dress code lie, the whole made up law about the dress code, those are just code words. So black people, especially you coons, and the coons know better, but this whole what about black on black crime, everything you do is criminalized if you're in a system of white supremacy. But Pusha T was going in on this sports bar who wouldn't let him and his people in because they made up this whole dress code, guest list law on the spot. There was another situation where Marvin Sapp, gospel singer, preacher, was in Chicago, and they ran the dress code game on them. They said, well, you can't come to this restaurant. I think it was Ruth's Steakhouse, something like that. But they told them they couldn't get in because of a dress code. And they pointed out that other people who were in the restaurant had ripped jeans and t-shirts and the whole nine. So again, the white supremacists, they're going back into code mode with some of the shit that they're doing. And they're criminalizing everything you do. And this is not just black men. And I've said this a million times. All of the Negro bedwenches who tried to assist the white supremacists with that whole street harassment propaganda, they're now targeting sisters too. You know, down in Mississippi, there was a graduation. And what's happening? They are arresting black people for cheering at a graduation. I think it was a high school graduation or maybe a college graduation. I'm not sure. But you guys can Google this as well. There was a graduation down in Mississippi. And, you know, black people, we're happy that our children are graduating. Everybody's happy that your children are graduating. And they are putting out warrants and arresting black citizens for cheering at a graduation, saying that they were disturbing the peace. Family, we're in Jim Crow 2.0. We just looped into a big old circle because we failed to empower ourselves economically, and we thought, and a lot of the coons thought, jumping on the coon train was somehow going to save you. Throwing everybody else under the bus, running around with the what about black on black crime rhetoric, that's not going to cut it no more. The white supremacists are not playing with you. Let's see who's on the phone. We got a lot of calls. What's up? Who's calling?
Hey, what's going on, Tariq? It's not Jim.
Hey, man, what's going on? What's on your mind?
Hey, what's going on? Listen, man, I just wanted to basically give you props on what you're talking about, because I experienced that whole cold thing. And
yes,
when I would bring it up to my friend, everybody would look at me like I was crazy. We were going to this club in West Orange, New Jersey.
Yeah.
And I noticed that what the Italian bouncer started to do, he looked at what everybody was wearing on their feet.
Yeah.
And this was during the time all the guys was wearing, like, the Prada softball. So he had the audacity to say, you can't get in with those shoes, once he noticed that most of the black patrons was wearing those shoes.
Exactly.
So, you know, so I brought it to a lot of my friends' attention. So now I got the motto that I don't beg nobody to take my money.
Absolutely.
So if you don't want me in your establishment, then I'm a go. And
absolutely.
Real quick, I just wanted to pop your collar about that gentleman who called complaining about his job. You gotta have options. Just this past week, you know, I basically got another job opportunity. I gave my other job a week's notice, and that job basically begged me to stay. And I said, listen, I'm going to stay, but you got to pay me to stay. So
right.
You got to have options, whether it's in a workplace or getting your own business. Like you said, stop the complaining and get on the ball.
Absolutely. Man,
right.
Much respect. Thanks for the call, fam. That's real talk right there. Let's see who else we got on the phone. What's up? Who's calling?
Oh, hi, Tariq. It's Nayette from New York. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, love?
I'm doing well. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me turn you off here.
Go ahead.
Okay, perfect. Hey, yeah, I wanted to discuss, like, two things. I tried to call on Sunday, but you were extremely busy.
Okay.
Okay, so my first thing I wanted to add to, about 2 weeks ago, a caller called in, what is his name? Tim Black. I never heard of him until that day, actually. But he called, and he was the gentleman that was on Dr. Phil's show. And he called in because he wanted, I guess, your approval or wanted you to be on his side about him going on the show and kind of bashing the mother who had her kids in a car while she was on a job interview. So anyway,
okay.
After that video, I guess he was really offended by your commentary and your response to him, because I guess you weren't on his side. And I was agreeing with you 100%, because I did go back and I watched the video, and he was light cooning. But I don't think he intentionally meant to do it, honestly, but he was doing it. And when you brought it to the attention, you explained to him why you were saying the things you said and gave him examples, he still wasn't getting it. So the following day, he made a video response to your conversation, and he was like really upset. He was ranting about, you know, the conversation he had with you, and I just didn't understand, because I did, like I said, I wasn't familiar with this gentleman. I guess he's like a YouTuber, and he seems pretty intelligent and pretty conscious, so I was not understanding why he didn't get your point when you explained to him that he was selling, you know, what he did was wrong, that
okay.
You have to... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Right. You got to understand, and I didn't really know the guy, still don't know him, and some people were sending me a link to him making a response video, and from what I understand, and I make a point to not listen to people who are obviously trying to do stuff for attention. I think he made a video saying that I was dissing him and all that. So basically, he was calling my show, sounds like, as an opportunity to create this false narrative to bring himself more attention. So the whole thing was for him to get attention, and it's not like he didn't get it. He was pretending not to get it. Nobody's dumb. He was just pretending not to get it so he could just say, hey, look, me and Tariq have a beef, which I don't know this dude from a can of paint.
I know. I didn't know him either. I didn't even know he existed until last week. So I was like, he is doing this intentionally, because when he called your show, he answered his own question, because he said to you that I made hundreds of videos talking against police brutality, against racism, and, you know, he never received the response. No one ever called him, but as soon as he made that one video bashing that mother, he gets a free flight.
And just to be honest, I don't give a fuck about these people, to be honest, because as you're talking, I'm literally getting bored with you talking about these people. Because literally don't give a fuck about them. I really don't.
I understand.
I just got bored.
Exactly. I understand.
Yeah, I'm looking at shit on my wall as you talk. I just got bored for you talking about some insignificant people I don't really give a shit about. But what's your other question, sister?
So the next thing I wanted to discuss was Eric Shepherd, really quickly. Because
yes.
I know you gave a lot of information last week, and I was really excited about that.
Yes.
But I did read the manifesto. I mean, actually, before you called, when I was trying to call and I was trying to add on to it, but I didn't get through, but I read it. It was pretty extensive, and it was not by him. He didn't write the manifesto. When I did more research on it, it was like he copied and pasted. I don't even want to say it was him, but whoever put it out there, that was an old letter from Dr. Khalid Muhammad from like the 80s, actually, certain parts were exactly identical. So when I first read it, I was like, oh my gosh, for one, I didn't think he wrote it because it didn't sound like his language. But certain parts did. So I think they just added on to Dr. Muhammad's manifesto from the 80s. But I wanted to discuss, like, did you read it or were you aware?
Yeah,
like,
I read it. So that's going to be kind of difficult for them to prove that he didn't do it. I don't think that defense is going to work, because I think he even made a video. He went on video saying somewhat of the same thing. You know what I'm saying? So the whole "that wasn't him" defense, that's not going to work. And
even if they have proof that it was not, like, this was already word for word, it was already said, like, another,
They could just say, well, he just repeated the words of Dr. Khalid Muhammad. You understand?
Yeah.
So that defense, I don't think that's going to work. I think that, you know, he probably did write it. But again, what the lawyers are trying to say, and what I'm saying too, which is his best defense, would just say, hey, he did it out of fear. He was doing it out of fear because he was afraid that these white supremacists were after him. That's the best defense. And, you know, I talked about this on my show, and there was a couple of coons saying, no, you shouldn't say that.
I heard that, yeah. I was totally, like, first of all, I agree with you. It was really not wise. That's why I was hoping he didn't write it, because he knew what the chips that were stacked against him already. It just didn't make logical sense that he would even manufacture or write it or rewrite that manifesto. That just didn't make sense. It was hurting him more than helping him. So I was just like, oh my God.
Right.
I hope he didn't really write this and release it. Like, this doesn't make any sense. They already are trumping these false charges, and now he's just making it worse by saying a lot of incriminating things, you know?
Right.
This didn't make sense to me.
All right, but thank you for the call, sister. All right. Okay. All right. People, you don't have to call me mentioning people that I really don't give a fuck about. You don't have to call up mentioning every unknown person, whoever, who says something. This person said this about you. I really don't give a shit. I really don't give a shit about somebody on YouTube or their opinion, and I don't give a fuck. I really honestly don't give a fuck. I really wish y'all understood how much I don't give a fuck about what certain people say, especially some, like, coons. Like, people used to hit me up and like, hey man, Crispy had said this about you. I'm like, who gives a fuck? I don't give a fuck what Crispy has to say or anybody like him. So? They ain't gonna do shit. The fuck about some nigga whining about me on YouTube? They ain't gonna do shit. What? Tell me what a nigga gonna do. Then holler at me. Don't tell me about another man talking about me. He ain't gonna do shit. I mean, come on, dude. That's Chatty Patty shit. Just another telling me about a Chatty Patty nigga. Just like my man Dame Dash said. There's a lot of Chatty Patty niggas out here. I don't give a fuck about what some nigga done said about me on YouTube. Nigga ain't gonna do shit. That's the bottom line. They can say whatever the fuck they want to say, but they ain't gonna do shit. But I digress. All right, let's see who's on the phone. I'm gonna talk about the Eric Shepard situation a little bit more. Hold on. What's up? Who's calling?
Hey, what's up? I got through, huh? That's crazy.
All right, what's your name, brother?
My name is Ron.
Where you calling from, Ron?
Sacramento.
All right, what's on your mind?
Hold on. Hello, hear me?
Nigga, if you don't start talking.
No, I just took off the speaker, that's all.
There you go. What's on your mind, Ron? Come on, brother.
Yeah, okay, I'm coming. I'm talking. Have you heard about Tom Hanks' son saying the N-word?
Oh, yeah.
Talking about the N-word?
Yeah. I heard about that, man. Tom Hanks' son, who's trying to be a rapper, from what I understand, he bangs a lot of black females. So now he think he has a green light to go around saying nigga and put nigga on his Instagram. And that's what these coons and bedwinches, they've given these little low-key white supremacists a little red carpet to talk reckless out of their mouths. I'm not impressed by the dude. I'm not giving him a pass.
Yeah.
You know, that shit ain't cool. He's not fly. He's not hip. You know, these white supremacists, they try to play the role and fake the funk to come up with ways to say nigga to our faces. That's a little slick little trick that they like to play. I'm not impressed by him. All that yo-yo-yo fake hood talk. And I'm not impressed. He's a phony. Cats like that are phony as shit. I'm good on him. And any nigga who co-signs that, you deserve for him to call you a nigga in your face, because that's what you are to him.
You feel me? Another question.
Go ahead, brother.
Yeah, I remember a few years ago, you did a show, I think it was last year, you was talking about how white people want black folks to get in trouble too for saying the N-word. And you have the NFL flagging players. Do you think it's going to get to the point where maybe Congress start passing laws banning the word from public places like buses and restaurants, schools, like colleges, like you say, the N-word on colleges, you get expelled? Because a lot of white folks, white supremacists, say the word and they get in trouble and get kicked out of school.
Yeah.
So it may, I'm seeing it may get to that point where we start passing laws banning that word from public places or public institutions.
I can definitely see that. The white supremacists, they don't fuck around. They like, white supremacy means just that. They want to be supreme. They want to do whatever they want to do. And if the other white supremacists get punished, black folks should be punished too. They don't want no black person to be able to do something they can't do. That's the name of the game. And it's socially acceptable for a black person to say nigga publicly, but it's not for a white person, and they want to change that up. So again, I'm not surprised that they would do some shit like that. So if that does happen, I wouldn't be shocked at all. But thanks for the call, fam.
Alright, no problem.
But yeah, I'm not impressed by it, by Tom Hanks' son doing that whole Wigger Malibu Most Wanted bullshit. You know, they all go through that stage. And black folks have to understand this. Just because you have some young white person who listens to hip-hop and they try to say the lingo, yo, 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 they grow out of that shit. They grow out of it at a certain age and they straighten up and they fly right. See, we be old as hell still with the yo, 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 talking the bullshit. They grow out of it. They say, hey, let me get on this white supremacist train. All right, I went through my rebellious stage. Let me straighten up and fly right. Same thing happened in the 1960s with the hippies. The hippies were out there in San Francisco and Oakland and out there in Berkeley smoking weed, doing LSD, free love, hanging out with the black folks and all that. Then those hippies started shaving their beards because when the money ran out, they said, wait a minute, I'm tired of sitting out here getting high, singing on the corner, begging for change, being broke. Let me shave my beard, cut my hair, and bathe and go back home and get back on this white supremacy train. So they left that shit alone in the 1970s. When the 70s hit, they stopped all that old hippie shit and got right back in line and did what they were supposed to do in the system of white supremacy. So I don't get fooled by the hippies going through a rebellious stage, just like with the hipsters that we see now. Don't be fooled by these hipsters that you see now smoking weed with you and all that. While you out there getting high and all that, they're gentrifying your damn neighborhood. You high and smoked out, laughing and joking, and now they done bought up all your property, all the property in your neighborhood, and now you gotta move with your high ass. Black folks, we love playing with people, but then people get serious on our ass real quick and they turn left real quick and be about the business real quick, and we still playing and fucking around. But I digress, ladies and gentlemen. Let me get this phone and see who else is on here. We got a lot of folks calling. What's up, who's calling?
Oh, my man, Tariq. This is Malik from D.C., man.
Malik from D.C. What's on? What's going on, player?
Bruh, I'm trying to get some game, man. Can you think you could give me a little bit of game
right now? No doubt. I'm in a game spitting mode. Let's get it. What's up?
All right, so I got two questions, possibly three. All right, so my first question is, do birds of a feather flock together?
Absolutely.
So, essentially, what I'm trying to find out is, you know, I got this chick. She's real cool. I meet her friends. Her friends are kind of hood ratish. you know, they, some of them are kind of some sluts. So I'm trying to figure out, you know, she, it doesn't add up because she's real cool, you know, real down to earth, got her stuff together. But then I talk to her friends and I'm like, wait a minute, what's going on here? So that's my first question.
Okay. Birds of a feather do flock together. See, when you meet somebody, they always pretend that they're not like their friends. They have a whole bunch of ratchet friends, and they always pretend that they're not like that ratchet friend. And people, especially adults, they gravitate towards the same people who have the same interests that they have. Now, certain people, now they grew up as, you know, they might have been diaper buddies and they might have grown up together. One friend is ratchet, but another friend is kind of more conservative. But even in situations like that, people don't really hang too tough like that. They kind of get together occasionally. But when you see girls really hanging with each other, almost on a daily or even a weekly basis, there's something about them that's that they have in common. There's a common thread. Okay. There's a camaraderie that they have. So if you got a friend, a chick, and she's a dick sucker, she likes sucking different dicks every week, and you're hanging with her, there's some dick residue on her mouth too. You dig? So that chick hanging out with those ratchets, she's playing the Miss Goody Two Shoes role, but there's some dicks in her closet too. So don't be fooled. Now, what's your other question?
Okay. Other question is, to take it back to your older podcast. You know, you talk about if a woman has more than three tattoos, chances are 9 times out of 10 she's a slut. So my question is, with tattoos becoming more fashionable and more people getting them, you know, is that still the case to this day?
Good question. Very good question. The reason why tattoos are becoming more fashionable with women is because hoeing is becoming more fashionable with a lot of women out here. Let's keep it 200. Hoeing, slutting it up, popping pussy, busting it open, has become way more popular than it was back in the day. You have reality shows that will reward sluttish, hoeish, jump-off behavior. If you are a jump-off, you can be on Love & Hip Hop or Basketball Wives, and you don't even have to be a wife. You can just be a jump-off. So slutty jump-off behavior is the end thing. You look at Instagram, it's Astagram. That's all it is. It's ass and titties. Sluttish behavior is the end thing. So naturally, the side effects of sluttish behavior, which are multiple tattoos, and a lot of people get mad at me for saying that, but studies have shown, let's talk about the studies. Studies have shown that women with more tattoos tend to be more promiscuous, because tattoos show rebellious, risky behavior patterns. So this is a scientific fact. This is why they call certain tattoos tramp stamps. If you see a certain tattoo on a woman, that's a tramp stamp. Now, with that being said, there are exceptions to the rule. I know women out there, you might be a church deacon. You got a tattoo of a Rolls Royce on your stomach and you ain't no slut. I got it. But more than likely, if you see a tattoo of a $100 bill on a chick's navel, there's a lot of dick sucking that goes on in that woman's life somewhere. You dig? Let's just keep it 100. All right? So it is what it is. All right, but let me get some more calls here, brother. Thank you for the call, fam.
Hey, thanks. Appreciate it.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, when I talk about women having a lot of tattoos, being somewhat hoish or sluttier, a lot of women got offended by that. And I started getting Facebook hits, like women hit me up like, I'm not no slut. And I'm looking at their Facebook page and they got 3 kids by 3 different niggas. I'm like, oh, sure you're not. I look at their Facebook pictures and they bent over at the Ratchet Club, hands on the wall, hands on their knees. Oh, yeah, I'm just pulling this shit out of my ass. You ain't no slut at all. With a tattoo of a flamingo with a gold beak and the wings are made out of $10 bills, you ain't no damn slut. You a good, clean woman. But I digress. Let's see who else we got on the phone. What's up? Who's calling?
Hey, what's going on, Tariq?
What's up? Who's calling?
Hello?
What's up, player? Who's calling?
Hey,
Oh, what's up, Tariq? This is Kevin from Texas.
Kevin from Texas, what's on your mind, man?
Hey, I had a, I got a little bit of a workplace question I wanted to ask you, man, to see what you think about it.
Go ahead.
I'm at a small company, probably 70 or so employees, and I'm the senior accountant there, professional. I've been doing this for about 15 years. And I work with some Hispanic people, and they're kind of on this. Anytime anybody asks me anything about whether it's black people we're hiring or, you know, what I think about them or if they're good people, I've heard the lady use the word colored on multiple occasions, and I'm trying to fill her out to see if she might be a white supremacist or if she just has an issue with black people. But, I mean, I really don't understand it. Like, it's coming off like it is, and I'm thinking Hispanic people, you know, they're cool, they understand where we're coming from, but it's really got me feeling some type of way. I mean, what do you think about the color thing in a workplace?
Well, the thing is, man, you got to understand, people who are classified as Hispanic, they are also classified as white. For the most part, many of them are classified as white. So when we talk about Hispanic or a Latino, which are very disingenuous, confusing terms, always ask, is the Latino or the Hispanic still classified as white? What's on that person's driver's license? Is it a black Latino? Because you got Latinos who are jet black. You have Hispanics who are jet black. If you go down to Cuba, if you go to the Dominican Republic, you got jet black Latinos. You go down to South America, there are jet black Latinos. But when we talk about Latinos or Hispanics here in America, you're usually talking about one that is classified as white. We're talking about possibly a George Zimmerman type. And always use that example. George Zimmerman is a Latino Hispanic, but he is a white supremacist, and he's a deadly white supremacist, and he's supported by other white supremacists. So let's not fall for that. We got a camaraderie with another minority group, because the term minority means absolutely nothing these days. That's why we got to be very specific about melanoid people and black people. You feel me?
I feel you, man. I appreciate it.
Much respect, fam. And speaking of terms, we got to understand these code words. I talked about these code words before. Like last week, I talked about the word Muslim being used as a code word for black people. I just talked about that last week. Muslim is being used as a code word for black people because these white supremacists went down to this mosque in Arizona and they had this big protest outside of a mosque talking about fuck Islam and just very disrespectful. They were having a draw a picture of Muhammad contest, just being very disrespectful. And I was telling people, we got to understand, Muslim is a code word for black people. They've always used Muslim as a code word for black people. Now, a couple of days ago, there was a black Muslim who was killed by the police in Boston. Because the thing is, when you start using the word Muslim and then tying a black face to Muslim, and any black person who is so-called rebellious is considered a Muslim. Just like with Eric Shepard. We were talking about Eric Shepard earlier, and he had to come out and say, hey, I'm not a Muslim. They keep labeling me a Muslim. In that manifesto, he specified, I'm not a Muslim, because a lot of the white supremacists around the country were calling him a Muslim. See, when you call people Muslims, they understand that Muslim is a code word. Because when you say Muslim, you can now say terrorist. See, that's why y'all remember when Barack Obama was running for office and they kept calling him a Muslim. They kept showing this picture of him with a turban on and some Islamic garb when he was overseas touring. And they kept calling him a Muslim. Then they took it from Muslim to terrorist. They started calling him a terrorist. They start talking about a terrorist fist bump when him and Michelle Obama bump fists. The terrorist fist bump. So Muslim equals terrorist equals black. See, this is why they put certain black people on the terrorist list, like Asada Shakur. They got her on the terrorist list. A black woman who's not a terrorist at all. See, Muslim equals terrorist. And if they can get that correlation, then they can further criminalize you. So now they're targeting so-called black Muslims again. And peep this. you got to really keep your eyes open, because now they're about to have the 20-year anniversary for the Million Man March. I think they're doing it in October. They're trying to have the 20-year anniversary for the Million Man March. So they're inviting the whole black family. And I think it's going to be a good turnout. And the theme is Justice or Else. I think that's the name of the theme for the Million Man March. So now, what you can see what they're doing, they're already getting this in place. Because the Nation of Islam, they are Muslims. We got to protect our brothers, because they'll start trying to label the Nation of Islam and all those brothers terrorists now. You understand? So they're setting up their blocks here. The white supremacists, they play chess with this thing. So we got to be very careful that they're not trying to label our brother Minister Farrakhan and other brothers in the Nation of Islam terrorists for speaking out against white supremacy. We got to be very careful about that. And I still want to get Minister Farrakhan in Hidden Colors 4. That's my goal. Everybody, if you're listening, hit Minister Farrakhan up on Twitter. Hit him up on Facebook and email the NOI website and let them know that we want Brother Minister Farrakhan in Hidden Colors 4. I hit up some of the people, some of the ministers and all that, but we let the brother know, let the public know that we want to see the brother in Hidden Colors 4. Let's see who we got on the phone. What's up, who's calling?
Hey, what's going on? This is Al calling from New Orleans.
Where you calling from, Al?
New Orleans.
All right, what's on your mind, Al?
Hey, I'm curious, how do you charge somebody to the game in, the digital era, does that mean, you're not responding to their text messages or not really, following them on the social media? What does that look like?
Well, the thing is, if you're only dealing with somebody in the digital arena, sounds like you've already been charged to the game, because you can only really charge somebody to the game on a physical level if you have a real relationship with them. And if you're just dealing with somebody on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, what is there to charge to the game? You don't have any game there. There is no game. You understand?
Right.
So that's true. The thing. Are you stalking somebody online, bro?
Nah, brother.
Now, who are you trying to charge online, brother?
No, I mean, it's a person that I interact with, but it's also, it's like when there's space, because it's a chick that goes to another school. But it's like we would see each other occasionally. But
now, have you ever met her before? Have you ever met her in person?
Yeah.
Okay, but she goes to another school,
right?
And what happened?
It's just that she goes to another school. Like, we would see each other every now and then, but just ain't enough consistent cooperation. But she'll hit me up on a text message or get mad if she see me out on social media with some different chicks or something. So
now, with this woman, have you ever hit it?
No, and that's the thing.
Oh Lord! So now, how long have you been knowing her?
Now this we really just kind of met in March, and then we didn't really start talking until end of April.
So you met her in March, and y'all didn't really start talking to the end of April.
No.
And this chick is checking you on who you need to holler at on your Instagram and Facebook and all that, and you listening to her? Hello? Did this brother hang? The brother got embarrassed and hung up because he heard the music. My dude hung up. How you gonna get checked with a chick who you're really dealing with online and you ain't never hit? We got some digital simping going on. How you digital simping? You Skype simping. Come on, fam. Y'all can't go out like that. This chick is checking you on Facebook. Come on, player. My dude got embarrassed. See, that's a lot of times, that's what you need. You need somebody to just really bring clarity to the bullshit that you got going on. My nigga hung that phone up so quick. When that Brian McKnight hit him, that fucked with his soul. I think that nigga might be crying right now. I think he's crying right now. This music hit him. He hung the phone up to cry. His voice is all deep and shit. That nigga sound like this right now. That nigga is crying right now. That nigga got a box of Kleenex between his legs. I didn't mean to break your heart, brother. I just had to bring the truth to you, my dude. I didn't mean to break your heart. I touched that brother's soul. I touched that brother's spirit right there. He wasn't ready for the truth like that. See, the thing is, I can't lie to you, fam. I'm not here to lie to you, family. I gotta tell the truth. All right, but I digress, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, let me put my Mac and music back on, family. But anyway, y'all, let me get up out of here. That's been today's episode of the Tariq Elite Radio Show. Don't forget, man, the Code of Conduct Tour. I'm going to be dropping so much hot fire on the Code of Conduct Tour. I'm going to be talking about the codes we need to empower ourselves. I'm going to be talking about relationships, dating. The game is going to be such hot fire. I promise you don't want to miss it. It's going to be in Philly, Atlanta, Detroit. Get your tickets right now, family. And I'm talking about right now at TariqLive.com. TariqLive.com. Get your tickets right now. Especially, we're going to have a ball in Atlanta, by the way. We're going to turn up so heavy in Atlanta. We're going to turn up in all the cities. We're going to really turn it up in Atlanta, by the way. Y'all don't want to miss that. But the Code of Conduct Tour is going to be heavy. It's much needed, family. All right, y'all, I'm out of here. I'm going to holla.